Our sermon this evening comes from Psalm 119, verses 89 through 96. This is Psalm 119, the L selection in the Psalter. I'll read the verses from the New American Standard first. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You established the earth and it stands. They stand this day according to your ordinances, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. I shall diligently consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad. Pray with me. Father, help us now as we dive in to your truth to apply it to our lives. God, work now and bless now and be glorified now as old thoughts are thrown off, as old habits are seen for what they are. Lord, and cause us to direct our steps in accordance with your truth as we direct our affections in accordance with reality. Lord, and be glorified now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 96, which was the last verse in the section that we read. I have seen a limit to all perfection. Where I have seen an end to all perfection. David had been at the place in his life where he was able to look back and he had seen so much. He could look back and think of Goliath standing 9'6" tall there in armor with a giant weaver's beam of a spear and a giant sword and his armor bearer. The strongest of the strong. But a limit there. Who's able to see Goliath undone. There was a man that was known as the swiftest of the swift, the fastest runner that they had. David knew him, and David saw him undone. David had a son, Absalom, who was handsome and strong and charismatic. He saw that perfection undone. David looked and he had seen his own ego and he had seen his own pride. And then he fell into the sin with Bathsheba. And he saw that undone. As we look at our lives and as we get older and older and we look at things and we marvel at different things and marvel at different circumstances and marvel at different people, we will indeed see an end to all perfection. We will see each one of those things that we would hold in high regard undone. But here, David speaks and gives this good testimony. I have seen a limit to all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad, saying there is no end to this perfection of your word. It goes on and on and on and on, and it is perfection. It is perfect. Where we would look at a man and stand in awe, or an idea and stand in awe, or look at a structure and stand in awe. King David was even able to look and see kingdoms and stand in awe and see them completely undone to where he could go to where these places were and walk through the forest and nothing remained. Undone. But you have been given what is eternally perfect, what cannot, will not be undone. So the call for you tonight, in all threats and fears, rely on the perfection of Scripture. As we look and as we see threats, we are always tempted. Tempted to find our own answer. Tempted to find our own end. Tempted to correct things in accordance with our own plans or our own schemes. But we're taught throughout Scripture that the answer is to be still. And to know that He is God. That is, to stand in a place of faith. To stand in the place of belief, knowing that God is good and what He has commanded is right and good and true. Verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, Your word is settled in heaven." Now this idea of something being settled in heaven, sometimes we think in heaven, oh, that's someplace far, far away. And it is, but there's just clouds and people sitting on clouds with their harps playing along. As if heaven is something less. But heaven isn't something less. Heaven isn't something weak. Heaven isn't something see-through. Heaven isn't the mist. Scripture actually speaks in terms and describes us as a mist. Describes us as a vapor. But the eternal reality, even the reality of heaven, is concrete. It's solid. It's steadfast. It's unchanging. When something was made, and it was made to be an example for the people in the older covenant, Moses was given a display of what was in heaven as they designed the tabernacle and as they designed the temple. The things that are seen are not made by what is seen. But the things that are seen are made by what is eternal. You and I, we may look at each other and you may grab the pew in front of you and think, this is solid, this is real, this is steadfast, I can trust this. But the things that are solid and real and steadfast, the things that you're sitting on and the things that you can grab a hold of, are held together by that which is invisible, are held together by that which is spiritual. And by that reality, the truths of Scripture, the expression of the eternal, is more solid, more steadfast, more real, more true than what we can see and touch. Because those things, there will be an end to those things. But the eternal reality is the reality of Scripture. We trust the Bible as eternal truth. And again, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, Your word is settled in heaven." That eternal realm that is not, cannot, will never be undone. So as we have this truth before us, we move to verse 90. "Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations." And this move is, trust God's continued faithfulness. The fears of our lives, and I don't know if any of you sit around and think about what your worst fear would be. There was a time in the crowds that I ran with, we would sit around and we would discuss these things. We were thinkers, this group before I was saved, and we would sit around and we would ask questions like that. What is your worst fear? And after I was saved, and we came together and we were in this gathering, one of the girls looked at me, she said, "So what is your worst fear now?" I said, "My worst fear now would be that I would lead my children to hell." You could have heard a pin drop after that one. No longer what we used to think about, no longer what we used to consider. I have no worst fear now. But here we see a beautiful statement. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. the fears that I would have, the terrors that I would know, are now undone by God and His faithfulness, as stated in His Word. A beautiful testimony that we have, and this is our third step, to see the very earth as a testimony to God's Word. And sometimes we know that we have a general revelation. We can look at the sky and we can know that this proclaims the glory of God as we see in Scripture. We can look at the world and see that it stands steadfast and sure. And by looking at the world, Romans 1:18 and the following verses describe that mankind sees the attributes of God in the world. They know His righteousness, they know His power, so that all mankind is without excuse just by looking at the world. And we rely on special revelation, we rely on the truth, but we see here in verse 90, the second part, "You established the earth, and it stands. They stand this day according to Your ordinances. For all things are Your servants." So as the rest of the world, those who do not believe Christ, those who do not trust Christ, they look at the world and it is a source of condemnation for them because they see the reality of God but refuse to embrace the reality of God. They throw off His commands and precepts. We can look at the world and we can see the world testifying about God. We see the world testifying even about God's Word and His truth. You establish, so we move through, Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands. They stand this day according to Your ordinances. For all things are Your servants. That everything that we look at, everything we know, and I have this longing to work through and memorize Genesis 1 so that I could look at any element in the world and look at anything that has been created and say, God made this on this day. This speaks to His power. This speaks to His might. This speaks to His authority. And we can do that. So we see the very earth as a testimony to God's Word. And now verse 92. "If Your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction." And this is our fourth move. That is, delight and do not despair. I have heard people give testimony to one another or talk about other people in such a way where they would say, "I could not have gotten through this without You. I don't know what I would have done without You. I don't know what I would have done without this person." Well, we see here a different emphasis than that coming from the psalmist. And as we think about this reality, in verse 92 and the whole psalm being this expression of the heart of Christ and the heart of David, but specifically as David was carried along by the Holy Spirit, we see the heart of Christ being expressed here. And remember where Christ found himself when he was to be crucified. All of his friends, all of his friends ran away and left him. Some of us maybe imagine that we've been in that situation. But here we see the reality that when all of his friends left him, the testimony then is, "If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction." Do we trust other people? Do we rely on other people? We do. We do, but we do so knowing that at some point they're going to fall short. At some point they will indeed let us down. People do that. Everybody does that. If you haven't known me long enough, I will eventually let you down. But we see that there is a truth. There is a beautiful place. There is a foundation that is settled in heaven, the eternal realm. That by it the very earth stands. The ground that you walk on stands because of it. And it is God's word. If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. So this brings us to that place where we, even if we find that everyone has let us down, even if we find that everyone has failed us, there's a place to stand, a rock on which to stand, that will never slip, that will always be steadfast. So we move now from verse 92 into verse 93. And we're not just in a place of survival at this point, but we're almost in a place of resurrection and a place of restoration. In the Psalter it says, "Thy precepts I will never forget, they quickening to me brought." This idea of quickening, it's this idea of coming to life. In the New American Standard, "I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me." I don't know how many of you have been in the valley of the shadow of death. How many of you have been at the place of utter despair where you've despaired of your own life? We can look at Christ and we can see what he had faced. Actually put in the grave. Actually in the cold of the earth. Laid out on a cold stone. And by the power of the Spirit, by the power of God, completely, completely revived and made perfect. But we see that the precepts of God bring this reviving and this strengthening. Perhaps some of us here have even known that power. Perhaps some of us here have been in the place of death and we have been returned to a place of life. If you have, rejoice. If you find yourself in the shadow, if you find yourself in the darkness, we find life and restoration. We find reviving in God's word. This truth that is steadfast forever and is never undone. Now verse 94. "I am yours. Save me. For I have sought your precepts." This, "I am yours, save me," it was something that one of Martin Luther's mentors gave to him. Martin Luther, he was a man that was terribly tormented. He either was assaulted by demonic forces, or he just imagined himself to be assaulted by demonic forces. Apparently they still have one of his rooms where there's an ink splatter on the wall where he was sitting and he became so distressed that he thought Satan was in the room assaulting him, and he picked up his jar of ink and threw it at the devil. And this splatter is still on the wall there. Well, his mentor, speaking to him, gave him this line, "I am yours, save me. I am yours, save me." And Martin Luther would lay down on the ground and just keep saying this, "I am yours, save me. I am yours, save me. I am yours, save me." And we find ourselves at the place of utter despair, and we see that there is no other rescue other than to know that we belong to God, that we belong to him, and we will not be undone because we belong to him. And this is our sixth move. Place yourself in his hands and call on him. These are in the places where there are threats of destruction. In the place where we would despair because we don't have our own strength. Again, also in the place where we've been abandoned, where we have been forsaken by our friends, our brothers, our sisters, our own parents, our own children, our own spouses. Save me. I'm yours. Save me. I'm yours. Save me. I'm yours. He describes the assault that he knows in verse 95. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. Christ could have said this, even as plans were being made for his own murder. But we see the answer in these times. I shall diligently consider your testimonies. I shall diligently consider your testimonies. A very different message than we would hear from other places. A very different message than we would hear in the church. A very different message than we would hear from the world. But the answer is given as God's word. I shall diligently consider your testimonies. And we come to the verse that we started with, verse 96. David could say it as he was carried by the Spirit. Christ could say it as he knew all reality. We can say it as we trust Christ and as we trust his word. I have seen a limit to all perfection. But your commandment is exceedingly broad. Our hope, our treasure, our rescue, our reviving, the word that we have been given, the word of truth, the scripture. So in all threats and all fears, rely on the perfection of God's word. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for meeting with us now. We thank you for reminding us of the truth that we have heard. Lord, impact us with this truth, that our fears and our doubts, the troubles of our hearts would be undone as we rely on you and your perfect truth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll now sing.